Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Lynn S. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Toronto, Canada. Today is Friday, August the 10th, 2018, and we are reading from the Big Book, page 94, the first paragraph, outline the program of action. We'll be reading that one paragraph only and commenting on that paragraph. Today's readers are 12 Steps, Shauna O, 12 Traditions, Wendy M, and readers of the text, Jordan L and Julie E. B. The reference numbers for Thursday, August the 9th, the 10 a.m. meeting is 11770. And for Friday, August the 10th, the 7 a.m. meeting, 11774. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Shauna O. to read the 12 steps.
Good morning. This is Shauna O., recovering compulsive eater in Washington. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Shauna O. And Wendy M. will read the 12 traditions.
Yes, good morning, Wendy M., recovered in Boulder, Colorado. The 12 traditions. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is the desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Those problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need to always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Wendy M. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book on page 94. The first paragraph outlined the program of action. And Jordan L., could you get us started, please?
Good morning.
Jordan,
can you hear me?
Oh, there you are. Hi.
Sorry. Okay. Good morning. My name is Jordan L. I am a recovered compulsive overeater in the mountains of Colorado. And this is page 94 of the Big Book, at a chapter working with others. Outline the program of action, explaining how you made a self-appraisal, how you straightened out your past, and why you are now endeavoring to be helpful to him. It is important for him to realize that your attempt to pass this on to him plays a vital role or a vital part in your own recovery. Actually, he may be helping you more than you are helping him. Make it plain he is under no obligation to you, that you hope only that he will try to help other alcoholics when he escapes his own difficulties. Suggest how important it is that he place the welfare of other people ahead of his own. Make it clear that he is not under pressure, that he needn't see you again if he doesn't want to. You should not be offended if he wants to call it off, for he has helped you more than you have helped him. If your talk has been sane, quiet, and full of human understanding, you have perhaps made a friend. Maybe you have disturbed him about the question of alcoholism. This is all good. The more hopeless he feels, the better. He will be more likely to follow your suggestions. So this, to me, is probably one of the most important paragraphs in this whole entire book, because hands down, for me in my recovery, I don't know, this time around and with where I'm at and whatnot, sponsoring was absolutely vital. And I have done it before in the past. I've done it in other 12-step programs, and it didn't work. I don't want to say it didn't work. I didn't stick to it. I became invested in those sponsees, and whether or not they were staying sober, and I did not I did not stick to, like, the real basic instructions in here of how to sponsor, why we're sponsoring, what we're doing this for. And there's a couple of key lines in here, right? Make it clear that he is under no pressure, that he needn't see you again if he doesn't want to. when I say that to a sponsee now, I really mean it. You should not be offended if he wants to call it off or he's helped you more than you have helped him. Like this time around, the sponsoring really was, there was no other investment in it other than I need to stay abstinent myself. That's it. Like I really have approached it in such a way that I don't want to say this has nothing to do with the sponsees because that sounds like heartless almost. And that hasn't been how it's been like. It's been much more of being like lovingly detached, you know, and being able to be helpful to someone because I am not, hopefully be truly helpful to someone because I'm not biased, because I'm not invested, because I am here for one simple reason. Very, very simple. This idea of human understanding, right? Of like relating to another human being. Amazingly, it keeps me abstinent. It keeps me engaged in this world in such a way that I no longer want to numb out from it with food. I no longer want to check out or to run away or to isolate or to be by myself, which is absolutely amazing for someone like me. I've been compulsively overeating since I can remember. And I have been checking out in one form or another from life since it started, since like the age of 9 or 10, you know? So that's pretty cool for me to have any sort of desire for human understanding. But that's all I have to say about this paragraph this morning. I am good. Thank you.
Thank you, Jordan L. The line is now open for those who would like to share on what was just read. Please say your name just once as it helps me hear everybody. Who would like to share?
Ginger C.
Wendy M.
B. Donna
Jen
B.
A.
Okay, let me tell you who I heard. I missed somebody there. I have Ginger C., Wendy M., Donna, and Jen A. Who did I miss?
Liz T. in Minnesota.
Liz T. Okay, let's go with that lineup. I have Ginger C., Wendy M., Liz T., Donna, and Jen A. Ginger, could you get us going, please?
Hi, good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes, thank you.
Yes, thank you for moderating. This is Ginger C., recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado. Oh, this paragraph, Jordan's absolutely right. And, you know, actually, he may be helping you more than you are helping him. And isn't that the truth? And, you know, I love this chapter because step 12 is why each and every one of us that are recovered today, that's why we're here, to bring this message to those that are still in the dark, because God's light, if you're connected to a power that you lack, it's shining brightly through you. And they can't see. And if they can see that little glimmer, wow, nothing greater, no greater joy. And it just takes me back. It always takes me back. And I'll probably share this story over and over because it was that profound. But, you know, I was probably 6 months out of the food and I had the hardest day of my life. My son was suicidal at school and his counselor, we pretty much stayed on the phone the entire day. And then I had to pick him up and I didn't know what to do. But I knew it was real and I knew he was in trouble. And I made that most difficult phone call with three numbers, 911. I need help. My son's in trouble. And after the whole ordeal was over, because the police officer, they showed up probably 30 minutes later, and it was 3 hours by the time they left the house with my son in handcuffs, taking him to the ER for a 72-hour hold. I had a responsibility that I made to a sponsee, and I told her that I would read Bill's story with her that night at 6 p.m. So when that phone rang, I picked it up. And thank God that I do this work like this, because my life depends on it. Nothing saves the day like working with another, especially in rough going. And it got really rough going. And the quickest thing my disease wants me to do is to disconnect and get away from this power and get back into isolation and my fear and my head and all the insanity. So then I go and eat because I can't deal with the pain within my heart and my soul. But because of these clear-cut directions and because I follow them precisely, I met calamity with serenity. And I had never been so strong for my son. And if there was never a time that he needed his mom more, it was then and it was now. And I showed up because I showed up with God. And God gave me strength and courage to walk through something that, as I said, was one of the most difficult things I've ever experienced in my life. And do you know the greatest gift is that I never once thought about eating. Food was never an answer. It was about being quiet. It was about more meditation. And it was about keeping my feet moving forward. And that sponsee that I spoke to that night, I think I was working with seven at the time. Do you know I shared with her what I was going through, not to get her to, you know, oh, Ginger, and how are you doing this, but to let her know you don't have to eat no matter what comes into your life. And she said, well, I just want to share with you that you had a son, I had a daughter, but I had the exact same experience. My daughter was the exact same age as your son. Now she's recovered, and she's going to be a police officer. You can't make this stuff up. I had seven sponsees. Do you think they're all going to share that same exact message on that night?
Time, please.
So keep pressing in because it absolutely is miraculous, and I'm so grateful to be doing it with you another day. Thanks. Pass.
Thank you, Ginger C. Wendy M., it's your turn, followed by Liz T.
Yes, good morning. Wendy M., recovered in Boulder, Colorado, and thank you, moderator, for your service and everybody on the line. And I always want to thank God for the entire abstinence I have today. And if you're on the line and you're not entirely abstinent, I can tell you that being in the food is so much more difficult than being entirely abstinent. And call me if you want to talk to me about that. So that's what I want to say. So when it comes to he may be helping you more than you're helping him, I'm like, that's good because I'm all about me. So I'm going to get something from this. That's like my first go-to. I get something. So, and what I want to say is that it's not in my nature to be helpful, right? It's in my nature to be selfish and self-seeking. And I heard that this morning on the earlier call, and the idea was to thank the newcomer for calling, right? Thank you, dear God, for calling me, because this phone call is going to save my life, right? So it turns out that for a few reasons. One is when I'm on the line with somebody, whether it's 10 minutes, 20, 30 minutes. In those 30 minutes, I'm not thinking about Wendy. I'm actually thinking about the other person, right? So that's going to save me every time. And whatever it is that they're calling me about, God makes this so, it's exactly what I need to hear. Lately, I've been in a tremendous amount of fear. And all people are calling me about is fear. And I get to practice with these people fear. I get to practice. What do we do with fear, right? So shine the light on it. Take a look at what's the belief about myself that's running the fear. But whatever it is I'm telling them, I need to hear it, right? And when they call, right, oftentimes, oh, I don't have time. I can't pick up that line. It turns out that I can't afford not to pick up the phone. And it turns out that sometimes I only need 3 minutes. We get right to it. Boom. And other times it takes longer, right? But when that phone call happens, that is God calling me. And when I pick it up, it's a complete surrender. It's a, I don't know, God. Sometimes in the phone call, we'll start with the serenity prayer or the set-aside prayer. I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to say. I don't know what I'm going to hear. But God's message always lands, hopefully for both parties, but certainly for me, right? I can't keep it unless I give it away. And this is
the bright spot of my day when you call me. And my first go-to is, I don't have time. Nope. You know, my hand goes up. And then the second thought is, you can't afford not to pick up that phone, because that phone call is going to save you every time. And for me, picking up that phone is a spiritual experience. It is saying, I'm going to God. I'm not going to go to me. I'm going to be with God. And again, just learning how to be helpful. This program is teaching me how to be helpful. Yesterday, I talked to an 86-year-old man who had surgery the day before. I never would have picked up the phone and called him. And for God's sakes, we both were crying on the line. It was just a beautiful experience, you know, because that's what we're here for. That's what I'm here for, to learn how to get out of myself, out of the bondage of myself, and learn how to be helpful, not just to people in this program, but sincerely to people in this program, but that in my life with everybody, what it's like to be them. And one last thing, I love disturbing us because we're in denial and asleep. Thank you.
Thank you, Wendy M. Liz T., it's your turn, followed by Donna.
Hi, good morning. This is Liz T., a recovered compulsive overeater in beautiful Minnesota. Gosh, just so many emotions are coming up reading this part of the book today and listening to everyone. You know, again, I'm zooming in on the part, actually, he may be helping you more than you are helping him. I remember when I first started working with the recovered sponsor, gosh, I don't even know how long ago now, probably a year ago. And, you know, the first little glimpse of a spiritual experience for me was that this person actually set aside time for me in her day. We set up a schedule, like there was consistency, predictability. She answered when I called. Like, I didn't trust people. I wasn't showing up for life myself, for people. I didn't trust myself. I was white-knuckling life. Like, I was, you know, white-knuckling the food, white-knuckling everything. And to have this consistency in my life was so powerful. And she wasn't pushy, and it was just, I don't know. That part for me just really stands out, that if I'm just there for somebody, I don't have to control the conversation. I don't really know where it's going to go. I have an idea, you know, where we are in the book and where we need to keep headed. But like today, I read with someone in the morning in Bill's story, and we were on the part in Bill's story on page 8 where we read, I was soon to be catapulted into what I like to call the fourth dimension of existence. I was to know happiness, peace, and usefulness in a way of life that is incredible, more wonderful as time passes. And off to the side, I had written spiritual experience there. Like, that's what I'm living in today. And when I read that as a recovering, trembling, nervous, despairing wreck my first time through, I thought, they got to be kidding. What are they talking about? Like, you actually feel useful and happy in life? Like, you mean it's not just drudgery, like white-knuckling, just get through this 24 hours so that I can go to bed? because being awake is my biggest trigger. And so I was able to share with her, like, oh, my gosh, on the other side of these steps, it's worth it. It's worth going through these steps, because I can come back and read this with you and go, oh, my gosh, that's starting to happen for me. And it's true. It's this is not theory. This is not theory. This is real experience. And having that message of depth and weight from someone else that had been through it, and now I can carry that message of depth and weight, we really are uniquely enabled, equipped, to carry this message and to help somebody else. So that's what I would like to share today. And it is helping me more than I'm helping her, because I'm able to look back with a different set of glasses and realize, oh my gosh, that I was so cloudy at that point when I went through this the first time. And I didn't believe it. And today I do believe it. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Liz T. Donna, it's your turn, followed by Jen A. And if we could have the initial of your last name, please.
Yes, my name is Donna B., as in boy.
Thank you.
I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Denver, Colorado. When I was first given direction by my sponsor that it was time for me to put myself out as a sponsor to serve others, I was really, really scared. And the first couple of phone calls really terrified me. There were some calls from people that had very complicated situations. And I wasn't sure what to do. And I spoke to a recovered person who said to me, if their recovery matters to you, you have the potential to kill yourself. Really strong language. That I'm really just here to put myself in a position of service. And for me, it was really helpful to be able to say that in my experience, right, which is what I'm doing, is sharing my experience, strength, and hope, I did have a team of people, I continue to have a team of people outside of the room. So I do have a chronic illness, I'm in the care of a physician. I do have a mental illness, I'm in the care of a psychiatrist. So for me personally, it wasn't just working with a sponsor that allowed me to move closer to my higher power and to experience recovery. So now it's much easier, knowing that with my experience, it's much easier for me now when somebody calls, regardless of the situation that they're in, regardless of what's happening in their lives or the complexity of their situation, I don't have to even for a moment believe that it's my problem, that it is for me to fix those problems, that it is my responsibility to somehow figure out how to solve complicated GI issues, complicated psychiatric disorders. All I have to do is read the book with another person and be able to say, in my experience, strength, and hope, utilizing the resources of outside professionals was helpful and allowed me to get where I am today. So that message of knowing it's not my job to cure other people, it's not my job to heal other people, it's not my job to care deeply about the outcome of their work, it's my job to be present, it's my job to offer the fellowship, to offer my experience, strength, and hope, and to offer just plugging through the book, sharing what I can, and also opening my community of fellows that have guided me to that person.
Please.
Thank you.
Thank you, Donna B. Jen A., it's your turn.
Good morning. This is Jen, a recovered compulsive overeater, anorexic, and bulimic in Colorado. I'm so grateful that I got on the line this morning and that I grabbed the seat at this meeting. Thank you for everybody that shared. This is just amazing. Wow, working with others, right? It's a process. So my experience was when I started in this program, I was going to after I relapsed, I was going to open AA meetings at 6:30 in the morning to learn the big book before I found this program and this meeting, A Vision for You. And one of the other guys that I befriended in the program, fellows, he was the same amount of time, a couple months more than I was. And we were sharing this journey of going through the work together in the morning. And I said, oh, my gosh, my sponsor's got me reading, you know, this chapter. I'm working with others. I'm like, I'm scared to death. And he looked at me in the eyes and he goes, why are you scared? And I said, I don't know how to work with others. Like, I don't know what to do. And he goes, well, A, that's why you're supposed to read the chapter. B, you rely on your sponsor and a higher power. And he goes, and you know what? He's like, you're already doing it. I go, what do you mean I'm already doing it? I'm not sponsoring anyone. He goes, nope, because you're working with me and you're helping me. And I just looked at him and I go, that's kind of funny because you're helping me too. So working with others is picking up that phone call. It's sitting in that meeting. It's talking to someone after. It's going to that retreat and spending time with somebody. And it's, for me, it's, you know, leaning back and listening. And then I have to take the instructions in step number 12 when I don't know what to do. And, you know, first of all, it's like, it's pretty cool because there's 150 suggestions in this chapter that suggest to me how to do it, right? It's written by somebody else who did it, correct? So I'm like, okay, I take those suggestions. And if I'm really, really stumped, in 11, it says, I pray for the knowledge of his will for me and the power to carry that out. That's where I'm going to get that. If I have this awareness that I can't do this, of course I can't. I'm not God. I put that God card down when working with others. But I can pick up God's intuition, inspiration, and share my experience, strength, and hope. And that's the best part, because I'm going to lean back, I'm going to listen, and then God's going to let that light shine through me. His words are just going to speak through me. There is no script that I have to have in this program. The only thing I have to do is share my experience, strength, and hope, and know that, guess what? Not only am I probably giving a little, I'm getting so much more in return. So two things I remember I told my sponsor said when we first started, you tell me that you're willing to go to any lengths. I said, yes. And he said, and at the end, are you willing to work with another and give away what you've been freely given? And today I get that. I didn't get it at the beginning, but today I get that. And I'm so grateful for this program. I'm so grateful for everyone on the line. And I'm going to keep coming back. Thanks.
Thank you, Jen A. And for those of us who may join us a little bit late, we are on page 94, the first paragraph, outline the program of action. And the line is open for sharing, and please say your name just once as it helps me hear everybody. Who would like to share?
Kathleen.
Marilyn
O.
Marilyn T.
I heard Kathleen. There was another voice there.
Marilyn T.
Anyone else?
Alana.
Alana, and I think I heard a Julie as well.
Yeah, Julie, thanks.
Anyone else?
Barbara S.
Okay, let's go with that lineup, and I'm sorry, I'm missing a lot of initials. I have Kathleen, Marilyn T., Alana, Julie, and Barbara S. Kathleen, can you start us off, please?
Thank you. Good morning. This is Kathleen O., recovered compulsive overeater in Northern California. And this is a program of action. And we're instructed to outline this program of action to our prospect. The book refers to it as our prospect, which is actually a person, when I look that word up, it's a person regarded likely to succeed. And I guess they call it a prospect because if we have this disease and we want it and we follow the directions, we'll be likely to succeed. So I tell the newcomer what it was like for me in the food. I tell them about my inability to control once I started eating. I couldn't stop, and, you know, how I'd buy a package of cookies. And it's so funny because I hear so many people mention Oreos on this line, and I don't know if that's one of the favorite ones, but you know, I had the Oreo disease too, and how I would, you know, buy a package and I'd be determined to just eat a couple, and that those two would turn into a sleeve, and then I'd end up eating the entire package in one day and being obsessed about going back and purchasing more. And, you know, I came in hopeless, and the majority of newcomers I talk to come in hopeless. So there's nothing better when I'm talking to them than them realizing, as I did, that they're not alone and that another person understands their pain and misery and their inability to stop once they start. So, you know, I can give someone the key to open the doors of hell, but it's their responsibility to open the door and walk out. If they don't want this, it's okay. And it is important that I don't pressure anyone. But if they do grab the life preserver, you know, wahoo, there's nothing better than a sponsee who is willing who moves through the steps without excuses and finds freedom from the food, happiness, and peace in life. I mean, those of us who are recovered have found that, and it is so amazing. And when people want it and they find it, it's the best thing. And so it is important for him to realize that your attempt to pass this on to him plays a vital part in your own recovery. And when sponsees are grateful for the time I take to help them, it really is important I let them know that, you know, what this says in the book, my attempt to pass this on plays a vital role in my own recovery. I mean, they are helping me so much more, I think, than I'm helping them. And I need to, you know, remember that, because it helps me to not take it personally if they make a decision partway through or after they finish the steps to say, I've got this, I'm out of here, or this is too hard. You know, my job is not to convince them how a real compulsive overeater never has this licked. And it's not my job to convince them it's harder in the food than any time and effort they're going to put into this program. My job is to be reasonable, quiet, and understanding. And I was hopeless when I came in and had no problem following these directions because I was sick and tired of being sick and tired. So people who come in hopeless, they are lucky because they're much more likely to follow suggestions. And with that, I pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Kathleen O. Marilyn T., it's your turn, followed by Alana.
Thank you, Speaker. This is Marilyn T. in Northern California, a grateful recovering compulsive overeater. So this is exactly where I am at right now, which is with my sponsor, is in working with others and I'm learning to sponsor. And so I have not done it, but I can say that this time with my sponsor in this program, A Vision for You, going through the big book line by line, I am actually being guided to be able to do this in a very straightforward, follow the directions kind of way. But my sponsor is a guide, and that's the job my sponsor has, is to guide me toward a higher power and being able to work these steps and be able to carry the message. It is always up to me in the end. I make those choices. But she makes me think more than I've ever thought about things and makes me see a different way of thinking, gently guiding me. And I love that. It's my choice, you know, and if I am not happy with it, I have that opportunity to walk away. I've never felt pressured or pushed in any way. I will say, though, I have felt disturbed, and it's not disturbed in a bad way. It's disturbed in a good way. This has shaken my thinking, my way of solving my problems that has never worked, making me question how I think, why I think, made me get out of myself and start helping others. And it is so true. When you're helping others, you are not thinking about eating. You are not thinking about yourself. Even in my personal relationships, how I view things, I can now tell if I hurt someone's feelings. I'm not really sure I cared or even thought about if I hurt someone's feelings before. This changes you. This is a transformation, and it could not be done without the people who sponsor. If you do not sponsor, you do not carry the message. You are not the shining light of your higher power, and to be the shining light, you have to give what you have learned. And you have to learn it. Oh, there's the thought. You have to listen and you have to practice. And then you have to go out there with all yourself and all your love and give it away. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Marilyn T. Alana, it's your turn, followed by Julie.
Thanks. Alana M. here, recovering compulsive overeater from Ottawa, Canada. And I really love what I've been listening to this week with working with others. I heard earlier in the week that said, you know, when you're really ready, a toothpick could sponsor you because the willingness is there. And I think that's one of the, as someone else said to me, you know, the big book is a standalone book in a lot of ways. A sponsor is there to guide and help, but really I have to be in a place where I want to put the food down. And I think part of the problem I've encountered in my time in OA is that I've wanted a sponsor to give me the will, a sponsor to help me accept and it's a job I can only do myself. I'm really starting to get that, you know, that nobody, no amount of anything outside of myself is going to get me to accept that I'm a compulsive overeater. Because once I get a few days and my body starts to feel better, I go and treat myself, you know, and that's not somebody who accepts. That's not somebody who has accepted the fatal nature of this disease. It's not someone who gets it. Like I have other addictions and I'm not so careless with those addictions, you know, and it's one of those things that I've really had to dial it back. And I've been listening to podcast after podcast and, you know, a recent conversation I had, the woman said, you know, the food has to be down. And then when the food's down, you find a sponsor to walk you through the steps and go through the big book with you. And that's the part I was missing. You know, I had the desperation, I had the hopelessness for 3 days and then boom, because I wasn't accepting. Anyway, thanks for all the great shares, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Alana M. Julie, it's your turn, followed by Barbara S.
Hi, this is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered here in Colorado today. Just thankful for this daily reprieve. And outline the program of action. Why am I speaking on the line today? Because when someone else showed up and spoke on this phone line and spoke to my sponsor, who spoke to my meeting, when someone else showed up and spoke, I learned about the possibility that there was hope. And as a still suffering compulsive overeater, I learned that there was a simple program of action that I could pick up the phone and listen to a meeting, that I could pick up the phone and put out my name as a newcomer, that I could ask someone to be my sponsor, that sponsor could tell me about the twofold illness, the illness, the physical allergy and the obsession, and that I could get into this book. And so this is a miracle in my everyday life today. Because I made a self-appraisal, because I straightened out my path, I'm now endeavoring to be helpful to more people. Before that, it was all about self-seeking. And when I looked up my character defect as self-seeking, I saw the opposite as altruism. And I looked that up. It said it's giving without expecting a return. Well, the reason that sponsoring can be very fearful, as we're still thinking about the disease and in the disease, is because most of what I did, I needed a return. I went to the food for an effect. I went to other people for an effect. I went to life hoping for a certain feeling of relief or joy or happiness. But now in this, as this program has changed me, now I'm not needing to put anyone under pressure, because whether they move through the steps or not is not for me to say. And I don't need to be offended if they call it off, because I love them and bless them and release them to their higher power. I can be sane and quiet and full of understanding. Yeah, I can say some things that are disturbing, but they're disturbing because the reality of the pain of this disease is disturbing. This is all to the good. So if I'm in this, program, to give without expectation of return, if that's how I'm moving through life, life is so much better than trying to constantly fill that God-shaped hole with food or other people or emotions or so much else. So thanks for letting me share today, and I pass.
Thank you, Julie E.B. And Barbara S., it's your turn.
Hello, this is Barbara S. Very thankful for this meeting. At this point, and for Vision for You, I've worked with sponsors in the past. I have a new sponsor who I found through Vision for you, and it's the first time where I'm really more strongly working with the big book right now with step four, and my sponsor is patient. I hope I give to her as much as she gives to me. I was having a problem allowing myself. I've been resistant in the past working with, at this point, working with fear, and she explained to me, you know, how the big book says to do it, and then I couldn't find my notes, or I didn't keep it well, and I was being sloppy, and then I started to go back to my old self, like, what's the use, for, I would say, a day, and then I called my sponsor. She got me back on track without putting me down, and with that, with also being patient. Sometimes my resistance causes me to not get something. I know myself to that extent. You know, I'm a senior already, and I wish I would have gotten this program earlier in my life. I would go to meetings, but I just wasn't working from the big book. I'm thankful for my sponsor. I'm thankful to her for reminding me that it's in God's hands. And also, I strongly believe more so, more than ever, about a nature versus nurture. Sometimes I blame things on the nurturing I didn't get. My parents died very, very early. I lived with family. And I believe a lot of it is a disease, because my father died of obesity and my mother from diabetic coma, and she may have been anorexic. So it's something that I am blessed now to find this program. And thank you, everybody. I'm a pass.
Thank you, Barbara S. We have time for another share. Who would like to take that time?
Patty T.
This is Gina.
Okay, let's try. We'll try for two. So if we could go for 2 minutes each, we'll get you both in. Patty, please go ahead.
Oh, hi, everybody. Thank you so much for all your shares today. It's really great to hear you and to read this part of the big book. You know, when I was an early sponsee, before I relapsed, whenever I would hear a speaker refer to the part of this disease that is deadly, you know, and they would say this is a fatal disease and all that, it really disturbed me. I didn't like hearing that because I knew that it kept me isolated. I knew all of those other things. But to admit that it was fatal, it seemed like such a downer. It seemed like such a down message, you know, and I really hated hearing it, and I would just turn off. Well, I had 5 fabulous years of abstinence, and then I relapsed. And over that 6-year period, I discovered, by constantly seeking sponsorship and higher power, even though I was chronically relapsing, I discovered, and I even said to one of my sponsors, this disease is killing me. And I had to come to that. But somebody else in a meeting, a speaker, another sponsor, somebody had already planted that seed so that I could recognize it when the time came, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. And I owe my life to those people who reminded me that this disease will kill me, because I finally recognized it when I felt it. And I prayed to God to help me get abstinent, help me get a sponsor, help me work these steps so that I could stay abstinent. And I may die a compulsive overeater, but I won't die because I'm a compulsive overeater. And I'm going to give that to somebody else. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Patty G. And Gina, can you take us out, please?
Sure. Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you. Great. Yeah, you guys, what a fantastic meeting. How great to hear all your voices this morning. They just sound so warm and inspired and passionate and recovering. yeah, so wonderful. I'm abstinent a couple of weeks now, off a couple of my alcoholic foods, the sugar and flour, and feeling like so much better. And I just, it's beautiful what somebody said about, you know, living the program and how it's like life is so much more because, you know, food can be the all so much consuming. And I'm just praying today to let go, you know, when it comes up, the obsession with it, to give it over to God, you know, the body or the food, the body, whatever. And, you know, like they say, focus on the recovery and the weight takes care of itself. Focus on the weight. Or no, you lose, focus on the recovery, lose the weight. Focus on the weight, lose the recovery. So, yeah, I just want to work the steps harder and do the tools and that more. I'm going to get onto some more meetings. It's been so fantastic. So I just want to say thank you all for shining the light on the path for me this morning. Okay, thanks. Bye.
And thank you, Gina. And thank you to everybody who shared and to Team Friday, Shauna O, Wendy M, Jordan L, and Julie E. B. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Julie E. B. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
This is Julie E.B. gratefully recovered in Colorado. A book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to me, more to you, and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and for countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.